killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beast of the fields and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away.
Mm. Okay. The fish of the sea will be taken away.
Yes.
You know, here is the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. This passage right here, these passages give us a picture as if God brought Israel into a court of law. These are the indictment charges. As if he brought them in a court of law. God here describes the charges against disobedient Israel. The terms where it says brings a charge is what today we call a lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In which God is plaintiff and the Israelites are the defendants. It's God versus Israel and Judah. This is where we are. That, you know, there's where in the passage says there is no truth of mercy of knowledge of God in the Lord. Each of these three points is connected with people forsaking the knowledge of God. One, soon mercy and grace is gone. Truth must be rooted in something more than personal opinion. And mercy means going beyond self-interest. I mean, these are three principles that we need to look at. We can, today, when we forsake the knowledge of God, mercy and grace will leave. Would you, anybody in agreement with that? You forsake God, and mercy and grace is going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And truth in God must be rooted in something more than personal opinion. And that's what we have today, is we have a lot of personal opinion of who God is and his word. And what I understand God to be, not the revelatory fact of who God is given by the Holy Spirit. And mercy means going beyond self-interest. How, you know, mercy is something that God said, when mercy is given, mercy should be, when you receive it, you should give it. But today, mercy, from my, somebody may have another take on it, but mercy seems to be extended when somebody's self-interest is, okay, what I'll do, but what can you do for me? You know, I'll forgive you if you do this, thus, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else got any thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, similar to what you're tagging on what you were saying, the world that we live in today, it's always what they call it, give and take. Almost every instance of anything that we can think of, it's like the first question comes up, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm. What's in it for me?
And this thing is also applied to us serving God. It's like people change churches just over and over. But this church ain't feeling my need. Oh. What they do, they preach about God. Well, yeah, but you know, they ain't got this and they ain't got that. So, hey, this is the times we're in.
Mr. Bush.
Yes, sir.
What you're saying is that people are not operating with a pure motive.
I would say,
motive,
yes.
Motive is not pure.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, I'll do that, but I got to get something in return.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing it out of a pure heart, and that doesn't bring glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you don't do it out of a pure heart, it's like you can't be expecting God to bless what you're doing because you're not doing it unto God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a major problem in America because, you know, this is America all over right here.
Thank you.
Lying, mm-hmm. Not showing mercy, committing mm-hmm. adultery.
Bloodshed upon bloodshed.
Hold up, Brother Simon. We're going to get there. It is. I'm glad you pointed that out. That is where we are right now.
Right now.
You know, or the pastor said, or knowledge of God in the land. I submit to you that the highest science, okay, I submit that the highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy, which can ever emerge the attention of a child of God, is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existing of the great God whom he or she calls their Heavenly Father. You look at that. Did you get it, Rose?
I got it. Whom he or she calls.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't care what the world, the loftiest part of science and so forth, but as a child of God, nothing preempts the supernaturalness of God. The mightiness of God, who I call the unseen essential in our lives. The scripture passage says, they break all restraint. Uh-huh. Now this connects back to leaving the knowledge of God. When they break restraint, is that they leave, whenever you break any kind of restraint, let's use the analogy in the world. If you break restraint of driving at 95, 100 on the expressway, what happens is that you have forsaken the rules.
That's right.
You just unrestrained. You just going you don't have no restraint. You just going to do it for whatever reason you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Rather you think you're a NASCAR driver or whatever, but you just unrestrained. Okay, so. When we break all this is I'm talking about believers now here this I'm talking about children of God. When we break all restraint, this comes back to leaving the knowledge of God. When you break restraint from the Word of God, then you're leaving the knowledge of God. Uh huh. And when you do that, soon truth and mercy are things of the past. And you no longer practice restraint when man will not or cannot restrain himself, destruction will follow. That's why it is so imperative that we understand the Word of God. Mm-hmm. See, you can know a passage of Scripture and verbatim quote it, but until you know it for yourself,
amen.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
That's right.
And when you know the Word of God, you have restraint. There are all of us in this room that we're born again now. Do not do things that we've done in the past.
That's right.
I ain't say everything because it's a process. But some things we are not doing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we have the knowledge of God that restrains us. Because he tells you, what seems right to a man, but soon is what? Destruction and death. So, and what I'm saying, just in a nutshell, is when you restrain from the knowledge of God, destruction is going to occur. It's going to occur.
Here's another issue with America. I'm not gonna call any names, but some people get mad because the law is convicting them, so instead of obeying the law, they want to change the law. But they want to change the law for their benefit. It's not because it's a bad law or because it's not benefiting nobody else, but the law is keeping me from doing what I want to do.
Absolutely. And so therefore, I'm not going to follow that law. And it gets to, when you pointed that out, there's something further on in this chapter that just runs right parallel to what you just said. Let's see. Today, our culture is set against the idea of restraint. I mean, there's no restraint. You know, you can see it in advertising on billboards or on TV commercials, such as, oh, no boundaries. Mm. No boundaries. Oh, just do it. Like Nike. And that's a very, that just little thing there, just do it, is not just constraining to sports, just win it. It's like wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide open. Just do it. Oh, find your own road to success or to your pleasure. Find your own road. Oh, you live without boundaries so that you don't have to be restrained and you can just express yourself and enjoy life. What is that? That's the pleasures of life, you know? So, you know, it's like make your own rules. Oh, you answer to no one. Your universe reveals around you. And that's a major point of philosophy in many of the young people today.
Yeah.
That their universe revolves around them. Anybody have any more that they want to, like Elder Beatty said, this is definitely, I mean, we're looking at our home country.
And we see it not only happening in the world, but we catch up with the news, we'll see it happening in the church world,
mm-hmm.
in the believer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Elder Beatty says things so tactfully, and that's a good thing, and I know I'm not pronouncing the word correctly, but still trying to be tactful, the quick pro quo, really understanding what that means now, and just having a grieving heart over, as you say, what will you do for me if I do this for you, etc. Not wanting that to just so spread throughout even the body of Christ without us even realizing and knowing it. You know, that seems to be such an acceptable thing to do because of some of the leadership that we are under today. So that's so troubling.
Mm.
That's a hard thing, as you said, Elder Beatty. And it's serious.
Sister Portia, you mentioned how people are thinking more or less of this thing nowadays is like everybody is more or less, I won't say everybody, but people are saying you have to love yourself. And they are taking that not with the regular frame of mind that a person would think when they say when you love yourself. They are saying it from the me point. In other words, like everything is me and what I can get, what I can do, whatever. Everything is about their own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People are not so concerned with putting smiles on other people's face. They want people to put smiles on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Me, myself, and I.
You got it.
And the scripture is telling us that in verse 2 that it says, they break out into violence, one deed off of bloodshed falling close to another, bloodshed after bloodshed. In the ancient Hebrew, this literally means blood deed touches body deed. So apparently, during this time, during this time, violent crimes have become so common. So common, the violent crimes have. Do we not have them now? Violent crimes have become so common that one crime seemed immediately to follow another's as if touching it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that today? I mean, it's like every day, every day, and every hour. I dare think every minute. But it's like one touches another, and it just, because why? There's no knowledge of God. There's no restraint. And we have no restraint. The NRA people, those that are really on that side, I mean, there's not all of them, but, you know, the whole mantra is God, country, and gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, and then family four.
That might not be the order either.
Yeah, no. It may not be, but you know they guns. They love their guns.
Yes.
They love their guns. They worship their guns.
I heard something. I don't know exactly what show it was, but it was some time back. They said that more people are being shot now than it was in the Wild West time when people were carrying guns on this side. People had more restraints about shooting people than they do now.
That's
amazing.
That
is. Because that was a Wild West, boy. I mean,
yeah,
the boys, they just opened up fire on everybody.
But what the reason they say it was like that is because the law-abiding citizens back then wasn't shooting up people. It was the tough guy, the bad guy, whatever. Now it's everybody shooting folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, people now, even drivers in cars,
yep.
Okay, they're getting mad with somebody and they settle the argument by shooting somebody while driving. It's like that guy you wouldn't expect.
They might shoot at somebody because they looked at them funny.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Huh?
And when you think about it, the purpose of it was to make money.
Mm.
It's just a money-making industry.
Yes.
It's
a money, whoever started it, it's a money-making industry. It's all about greed. It ain't about how many guns you have. Because that's not keeping you safe, you know.
No.
It's all about money.
Mm. They said that a lot of the laws was passed some time ago because people was collecting guns. It was like a hobby type thing. And
souvenir.
Yeah, it's a souvenir type thing. And so they want that to be unrestricted. But then now it's down to they taking military type rifles, and people are want to have the right to have that as their personal weapon. And it's not for hunting, it ain't for collecting no more. So that's only for one thing, and that's for shooting folks.
Protecting you.
No.
It's for killing.
For killing people.
Mass killings.
Right.
But y'all know when that come about?
Mm.
We had that shooting in the shipyard.
Mm.
People, they should have locked that thing right then and there. They let it roll on. The people were buying them going by the load.
Mm.
Y'all know who I'm talking about? And they had that big shooting in the shipyard about 4 or 5
miles
ago.
Mm.
Obama was president then, I believe.
He was. Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't lock down things right then and there. And folks were finding all of my rubber money to pick up and buy a book law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like you say, no restraint. Nobody don't want you to tell them what they can't do.
Can't do.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about restraints. You can't tell me I can't buy this type of gun, of gun. I can't do this. You can't tell me that. I have rights.
That's the word. There's that word again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You violated my rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even though I don't even remember hearing a lot of that type of things in the news, they shut that stuff down. They don't report it
like
the way they report some of the things.
Right.
Some of the things that really should be in the news so we'll know and be informed are not. Mm-hmm. To keep us from being on the case.
Mm-hmm.
The diligence that we need to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the silent thing that's in all of that with the gun thing, the companies that manufacture guns, we don't hear nothing too much about those people. Mm-hmm. We hear about the people who sell guns. We hear about the people who use guns. But the manufacturer of the gun, they still got good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I think they're all in it together.
Yeah.
All three of those groups you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the employees? They have to be a certain type of employee that they would hire.
To manufacture guns?
Oh, yeah. Yes, because they don't want to lose their job, so they've got to go along with that philosophy.
It's a paycheck.
Yeah. I worked in a machine shop. We made spray nozzles. Not that type. But the type you might see if you're in a car wash. You know, spraying water on the cars. Mm-hmm. And things like that. They made nozzles for cooling down the missiles when they went up. But those machines, because some of my co-workers have done it, those machines are capable of making guns and anything else. It's just dimensions. You know, in other words, you take a piece of something and you bore holes in it and, you know, you can make it fit a bullet, whatever. Mm. But like you said, there were certain kinds of people who, working in that environment, they wanted to make them a gun. And they did. Now, everybody wasn't interested in that. But it's the frame of mind that people have.
Wow.
It's just amazing.
Now, this deer that a hunter, when he got down off, after he thought he killed this deer,
mm-hmm.
got down to go check it. Anybody hear that in the news this
yes.
week?
Yes.
I didn't know.
It was a person.
Boy. Yeah. It was a person. It wasn't a hunter. It wasn't a male or a female. So.
No. Yeah, I heard about the guy who thought he had killed the deer, but it wasn't a deer.
It was a person he shot.
No.
This is something different.
This is something different. Okay. This is about the deer got up and gored this guy.
Oh.
And by the time they got to him, and he didn't even get to the hospital alive. They couldn't
save him.
And I'm not sure which state it was. It might have been somewhere like down in the south, maybe
Alabama or
something. I'm wanting to think Arkansas or Louisiana, one of those two.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear about
that. Oh, yeah. And see, they're keeping that kind of quiet.
Yeah, because
they don't want the hunters to stop.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I heard the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I heard that about the person that
can So we see now where restraint. As you all have talked about the guns, love for guns, and how guns, you know, without restraint or laws governing the use of guns, what happens? We have violence upon violence, blood touches blood. Verse 4. I'm reading from the Amplified. Yet let no man strive, neither let any man reprove another. Do not waste your time in mutual recriminations. For with you is my contention, O priest. Okay, so now we got the people who are unrestrained. Now remember, this is God's indictment on Israel. So we done talked about the people with no restraint. Now we're going to the leaders. He says, verse 5, And you shall stumble in the daytime, and the false prophet also shall stumble with you in the night.
Mm.
And I will destroy your mother, the priestly nation. My people are destroyed, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, see, this is what I wanted to point out. We use that so much in so many ways that really, and now you're going to, I think you'll get a clearer understanding. We use that when people, whatever, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But here what God is saying is that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you, he's talking about the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge. They because of lack of knowledge, because they reject it. They rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Now, here in we see the corrupt and ineffective leadership of the priests. So we see we see clearly God commanded his people to listen and to submit to the priests, and they didn't. But let me go back to the priests first. The priests, the people were doing their own thing, rebelling. And I don't want to jump ahead, but the priests were not giving the people the word of God and instruction. So the people are unrestrained, and the priests are, well, in a sense, you could kind of read, they were just giving them what they want, you know, to keep them off their back or to keep their pockets filled. But the priests were not giving the people the word of God. And so when they're unrestrained and they're doing their own thing and you don't have no spiritual leaders guiding you, what happens?
No guidance as we go astray.
So now we see we see here that God commanded his people to listen to and submit to the priests who would lead and help the people with the word of God. But because the people cast off the knowledge of God. In other words, maybe the priests were trying. I can't say, you know, because the priests were trying, but the people didn't want to hear it. They were casting off. Is that not what we have today? When truth is being spoken, people don't want to hear it. They want to cast it off, or they want to turn it around and massage it to the norms of this society that makes people feel comfortable. So what happens is that the priests, now the preacher today is doing the same thing. He's turning stuff around, massaging it to make people feel comfortable. You know, because the church is now a business. It's a business. So, and if you want them to keep coming, you got to give them what they want. So you can have all kinds of performances in church, and all kinds of from the music to the so-called dance worshipers, the liturgical dance, to the psalmists who are performing everything. Why? Because people forsake the knowledge of God, the word of God. They want what they want to make them comfortable and satisfied. And when you do that, when you forsake God's word and his instruction, you are going to destruction. I made a note here on the other page. It says, Satan sings sweetly to us by making us think or hope that casting the word of God or casting things of truth, the word of truth, or the things that are spoken of God that is truth. These things, he says, by casting these things is a door to freedom. So when someone said just a few minutes ago that your people just want to do what they want to do. Okay? So Satan says, you know, just do what you want to do. That's your freedom. This is your own, just like people say, it's my own life. I create my own destiny. You know, and so Satan, you know, deceives people with that, thinking that they have freedom to express themselves and to I guess whatever they want to, they, I don't know, but to express themselves and be the fullness of what they are at, with this freedom. But it's only a pathway to destruction. It's only a path, because just like you have people who love money, who worship money, they just constantly go after it. They don't spend it, and they could never spend it. They just go after it more and more and more and more. Any kind of way may possible, how they get it, whether they be in pharmaceuticals, knowing that them pharmaceuticals are going to kill people. But if the bottom line is that I'm going to get profit,
right,
you know, and so forth. So it's all, you know, it's when we forsake the knowledge of God, there is nothing but a path to destruction and bloodshed.
Amen.
And bloodshed. So so he says, yet no man strive, neither let any man reprove another. Do not waste your time in mutual recriminations, for with me my contention, O priest. He's saying, okay, so you want to sit there and deal with all kinds of philosophies that you think are admirable to your day, and forsake my word, and you see what happens. We got people believing that their health can be healing can come from a stone.
Yep.
Okay, or from a rock. You know? And so we've got that. Okay, we've got I mean, if you think the fertility gods and all that stuff in the Old Testament, which we're going to get to, au contraire. We got people today that are into the business of giving herbs for, if there is one now, y'all, this will really make your mouth drop open. For they are working on this formula to create perfect babies, and so they're going to be selling. It's like almost like you buy the diet food and you eat it and lose weight. Well, you start, you know, buying this medical whatever it is discovery, so that when you get pregnant, you will conceive a perfect child. And, of course, what color will it be?
I know what it's going to be.
Blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So
Hitler ain't dead.
No. His great-great-great-great-great-grandsons are, the Jews will not replace us.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything that we're now, what God was telling them, it flows right, remember, from Genesis to Revelation, the flow is connecting. It's connecting. That's why we got to read, you know, in school they tell us, if you don't know your history, then you'll repeat it. And if you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going, or whatever that is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this is it. You know, oh, we don't need that. That was for the Jews. So now we got this replacement theology that the Jews are no longer God's people, but the New Testament church is you know, people, the body of Christ replaced the Jews. That is a lie out of hell.
Yeah.
And that's to keep us in the New Testament from going here
to the old,
to search and to seek. Because what God was telling them, he's speaking to us now. He's showing us. It's just like Elder Beatty said, this is America now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, now we're going to go down to 6. We did. My people. So, I want to point that out. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why now, folks? Why was he saying that? Because of what?
Because the leaders rejected his word.
Teaching the word. So when you hear that now, will you correct some of your brothers and sisters with that? Because it's not that you have a lack of knowledge. It's because the leaders who God has called to teach us and to show us are not doing it. somebody said they were going to say something, they wasn't going to name no names. I'm not either. But I can assure you, you talk, everybody's a Christian today because nobody don't want to be called an atheist or an agnostic or one of them New Age kooks. So they'll say they're a Christian. Ask, what is salvation? Just what is salvation? And it don't have to be, you know, long, if it gets to this long theoretical dissertation from Colossians, Galatians, and all that, it is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you'll know who's been teaching them from how they respond. Mm-hmm. Is that not true, Brother Beatty?
True.
Mm-hmm. That's and when you know the truth not will make you free. And it will help you to make others free. Mm-hmm. That's why God said, don't forsake my word.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the priests, who are the really the preachers at that time, they just, and we're going to find out a little more why they was forsaking God's mm-hmm. word. Mm-hmm. But when the leaders, the teachers, the preachers, the pastors, and all of those, when they forsake teaching the word of God, then what happens? People become without restraint. How can you not know that God said that in Genesis, he told the man and the woman to take dominion, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And make babies. That's how it was. It ain't no different then than it is now. So you are saying because God is love, I'm going to marry Raymond and Ray just because they love each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when you have the leaders and the preachers and the teachers opposing the word of God, that's what happens. It happened then, and come on now, look at it now, because there's the reason why so much of the condition of I'll just use this state right here, in the condition it is because the people of God, one, many of them don't know the word of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been instructed. Well, that's what they said, but do you know? And so whatever they say, they follow. Because that's the preacher. That's the pastor. But nobody seeks. This shepherd tell you, go read. Go study. For yourself. And that's why on Sunday, when he start doing, like the old folks say, turning the pages of scripture, you jumping from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because he's saying read and study, and line upon precept, and you'll begin to understand and know the word of God for yourself.
That's right.
So he says, the more they increase and multiply in prosperity and power, the more they sinned against me. Let us not, boy, y'all don't want me to, please, Lord, let me keep guard at the door of my mouth. Because when they put that little casino there in Mississippi or wherever it is, man, I mean, the road from metropolitan Atlanta down there, and with a lot of church folks,
and wheelchairs,
and everything else,
oxygen machine,
and can't and cannot,
yes.
cannot support missions work, will not support the work of the church because, well, I ain't got it. Ka-ching, 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 and ain't nothing coming back to you, but you keep putting in and ka-ching. But it's, you know, it's how we're not under conviction because we're not taught. And when somebody doesn't tell you that God says here in his word, not that I'm saying it, but look in the word what God says for yourself. But, oh, just go off and have a weekend and enjoy yourself, you know.
Have fun.
Have fun. You worked hard. You deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
And is that really fun?
I don't know, but.
They are passing the thing. They put one here in Atlanta.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're going to have that soon. Yes, sir.
It's an easy, I don't want to make it sound too simple, but it's simple to me. Let me say it that way. If you have a problem trying to understand the will of God, if it doesn't start, you start with holiness.
Amen.
That's your measuring stick. If it's not holy, that ain't God. Because God don't do nothing that's unholy.
Amen.
So, you know, they call it gray areas in the Bible. I met a guy who's supposed to be a born again Christian minister.
Yeah, they do say that.
He said gambling ain't in the Bible. So that's what he told me. Gambling, why you say gambling is a sin? The Bible don't say gambling is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't think of what I'm saying now. And I was mad. That's why you can't afford to get mad. But if I could have thought of what I'm saying now, if it's not holy, then God ain't got nothing to do with that.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, I also think that some of the teachings that the leaders get from some colleges, I'm not going to call them no names.
Seminaries,
whatever, don't always put them on the right path.
Oh, definitely right.
Because when my sister was going through, she told me one of her classes, she had to argue with the instructor who said the Holy Spirit wasn't prevalent for today's time.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I had that problem.
Oh!
That's what got me in trouble. I was in seminary. I'm sitting there, and these instructors are making these off-the-wall comments.
Yes, sir.
I'm sitting there. I'm saying, what you trying to tell me that? He should believe you over the Bible, because he wanted to take all the miracles out of the Bible.
So even going into seminary school, you got to know the word for yourself. You know.
Yeah, well, they call it old fashioned for you to depend upon God's interpretation. In other words, you read the Bible and back up what you believe with line upon line, precept on precept, and whatever. Okay. For you to be a preacher or a leader, you need to have went to college and took all these humanity courses and psychology. You got to know how people think and all these other different things that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And when you get that part, now you are taught to think outside of the box. See? And now anything can come into it. And it's just a mess. It is a mess.
When you're going to seminary school, it's not to bring your spirit, but to bring your love and to have to deliver the message. Nothing to do with the spirit of God. You have to learn you how to present yourself.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You present yourself. Am I right, Joe?
I don't want to get on that because we'll be in here all day.
Yeah. So.
But the main thing is, you do not go to seminary to become a minister.
That's right.
No, you didn't do that.
That's not how you become a minister.
I just want to before we close today, I just want to give you some thinking. About, I want to stick on the knowledge of God, and how important it is that we understand, we do know that now that the people lack knowledge because they were not taught, and they so I just want to say that the knowledge that why it's so important, the first knowledge that they lacked was that they cast off, they didn't want to hear it. The second kind of knowledge that they lack is the knowledge of God, God's word, that they had forgotten the law of God. First, they didn't want to hear. The second is they didn't want to obey it. They knew the word of God some, but not enough to keep them. See, they knew it, but not enough to keep them. They didn't really know God's. This is why we got to understand where the scripture says and included the priest, because they only got what the priest gave them. Now, when you look at it, when you know God for who He really is, when you're taught who He is, when you begin to know God and accept it, it affects your attitude, yeah, and your conduct. Where there is no knowledge of God, no conviction of His omnipresent and omniscient, and private offenses such as stealing, adultery, and so forth will prevail if you don't know the knowledge of God. Yeah, and the scripture, and then the pastor says, because you have rejected knowledge, this is what I wanted to emphasize, because you have rejected knowledge, he's saying that then, listen up, church, now, when you read, because you have rejected, I will also reject you from being my priest. He's talking about the leaders now, okay? He's already talked about the people but now he's indicting the priests. He said, because you have rejected my knowledge by not teaching my people, I will reject you. So let me take comfort that the false prophets out here that are out here and seemingly to you may be doing extremely well. And you were saying, Lord, when are you going to bring them down? When are you going to expose them? Mm-hmm. Here you go. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. Here we see who's responsible for the lack of knowledge. It's the priest who's not giving us the lack of knowledge. Then and today, why are we not growing and more fruitful in our Christian walk? It's because we lack knowledge. And the lack of knowledge among the people of God, the priests who rejected knowledge, the first knowledge of God and His word is one. Teaching was an important duty of the priest, just as it is an important duty of the preacher, the pastor, or the teacher. And in your private reading time, take these scriptures down and read these. The Deuteronomy 33:10, Ezekiel 44:23, Malachi 2:7. Now, the
repeat that again.
Which one? Deuteronomy 33:10.
Start from the beginning. I had to get a pencil.
Deuteronomy 33:10, Ezekiel 44:23, Malachi 2:7. Now, the priests and their neglect of the demonstrations, what was an important place is the priest today, the minister, the pastor, and the preacher. They have an obligation in presenting God and His word to the people that God has placed under them, over them. If they neglect their duty to preach the word, and I'm not for the sake of time, read 2 Timothy 4:4. When those who are called to preach and teach the word and neglect this, then he or she cannot lead the people into the true knowledge of God and will lead them into destruction. That's what happened then. That's what's happening now. Two, He said, I will also forget your children. When God said, I'm going to forget your children, he's really, you really got to him. He said, I will forget your children. Listen to this. God will hold the unfaithful minister, pastor, and preacher accountable. They must answer before God. And some, I don't believe, think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. I mean, some of the stuff, I mean, myself, I'd be scared as all get out. Because you're going to answer for this. Because those people are listening to whatever you've given them.
Right.
And if it's not the word of God, you're going to answer. He said, they will not be priests for me. This reminds us that the priests didn't only serve on behalf of the people, but also on behalf of the Lord. That's the same way the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're his mouthpiece.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The priest represented the people to God. The preacher represents the people to God.
Mm-hmm.
But also represent through the preaching the word, God to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get to know in a way. Through, how do we get? By hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to study. So that's not the only way. So you got people who say, well, I don't listen to nobody else, whatever my pastor say and so forth. And if he don't tell them to go read, they don't read.
Mm-hmm.
And they read and don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor says, the more they increase, here it is, the more they sinned against me. This is what I wanted to show you. I will charge their glory into shame, God said. God blessed the priests with increase. You see it? He said, the more he had blessed, even though they was doing the wrong, he blessed them with increase. But they took God's blessings for granted and sinned against God all the more. Do think about it. Yeah, remember, just look at where we are today, okay? See, blessing is a two-edged gift. It's obviously wonderful to be blessed. We all agree. But it also brings more accountability.
And responsibility.
That's right. And here, we saw it was more opportunity for sin.
Mm-hmm.
They eat up my people. They did this by enjoying the benefits. The priests did this by enjoying the benefits of the people's sin, such as, here it is, taking bribes, taking sin offering,
mm-hmm.
sacrifices made for the sin. So the sin offering was you brought the defective, perfect animal, right? For a sacrifice. That was, they took that for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sacrifice defective animals.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Here's another one. We got a church pledge to do the building something, and we want everybody to pledge $1,000 a year. Okay, so year one, we all pledge $1,000. We ain't seen no movement. Then they come up year two. We need you to continue, but we need $1,500 now.
Boy, you better stop.
And we don't see no movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get no
accountability.
Amen.
But yet, you know, all the leaders are going to these conferences
mm-hmm.
and all this kind of stuff. And we got all these known people coming into our church that we got to pay these honorariums to. To stay in the known club, I mean,
we're gonna pray for you.
I know it. I know. I'm using
examples
that you know. I mention no names.
No.
But examples that you see, and many people question like, well, that's what the pastor said, so that's what we're going to do because
Amen.
The pastor is the pastor.
Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to point out, too, like in this instance here, when he's talking about the priest, back then, like you gave us scriptures and we're going to read them when we go home.
Right.
They didn't have no Bible. If they didn't get mm-hmm. it from the priest, they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
he had the book.
So. Well, it wasn't just the priests, it was preachers too from every denomination, because they felt their people didn't understand what they were reading, so that they won't misinterpret it, they were the interpreters. Okay? So it wasn't just one faith, it was all of them.
Simon, that's why God used the prophet. Because the prophet was supposed to bring correction to the error that was taking place. That's why they didn't like the prophet. That's why they stole the prophet. They didn't stole the priest, they stole the prophet.
Yeah.
So we will, I hope that that we are seeing, because as we're reading the Old Testament and the prophets and the things, we've got to see how it ties into us today.
Yeah.
Don't just say, well, that was then. Oh, no, au contraire. It's a whole lot of us today.
Well, like what Rose was talking about today, about the different denominations.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to close, and we'll pick up next week with verses 9, starting with verse 9. Any questions or comments before we close? Remember that the people perish because of lack of knowledge, and why?
And they
that's right. So don't be talking about, well, my people, all this other stuff you want to pin it on. You got to pin it on where is the deficiency? Where is the weakness coming from? So we will close. Father, we thank you for this time of learning, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for your Holy Spirit giving us understanding and enlightenment, Lord God. I pray that you will bless your people, Lord God. Bless their hands, bless their feet, bless their families, oh God. Use them to your glory. And we bless and honor you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.